In the studio with us now, Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. He's a staff writer for Ranker and well-known in the Film Critics Society, mostly because he's never forgotten anything he's ever seen on the screen or who did it or what film company did it or anything, right?
I have a weird memory for all that kind of stuff.
Well,
I can't
good.
Remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember a movie I saw 17 years ago.
So you remember the important stuff, in
right.
other words. All right, fabulous. Campus Theater sponsors Movie Mike's appearance. He always starts out with his review, the latest Fast and Furious.
The spinoff Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw stars Dwayne Johnson as Hobbs and Jason Statham as Shaw. Or maybe it's the other way around. Who really even knows? The two enemies are forced to work together when cyber-enhanced biker Idris Elba gets his hands on a deadly bio-threat with the potential to inflict massive damage upon the world. If you guess that they begrudgingly start to respect one another, congratulations, because you've just been hired to write the next Fast and Furious movie. Hobbs and Shaw has all the things you expect from this franchise. Action that defies every known law of physics, a shoehorned-in message about the importance of family, and of course, a lot of cars. As you can maybe tell, I'm not really a fan of this series. Hobbs and Shaw continues the trend of having a dumb, incoherent story and one-dimensional characters. On the plus side, a couple of the action scenes are so stupid that they're kind of fun, and the two leads occasionally toss off a funny one-liner. To be perfectly honest, my opinion doesn't matter a whole lot here. If you like the Fast and Furious movies, you'll probably enjoy Hobbs and Shaw. If you don't, you probably won't. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2 Vin Diesels.
Vin Diesel, he's not in this, of
He's
course.
Not in this one, no.
Okay.
It's a spinoff. It's not quite as car-based as the other one, but there's still a lot of vehicular action in it.
Okay, a spinoff, not the next in the series. I think that's
right.
how I introduced it last week.
Exactly, it's a spinoff. The 9th edition of Fast and Furious comes out next year. This is sort of a detour just featuring those two characters.
Okay, well, I saw the trailer. It looks fabulous. I like the series. I like the movies. It's good old-fashioned, what do they call it, innocent distraction or what have her. But you have a higher standard. You really would like, if you're going to be about cars, really be it. If you're going to be about family, be it. Is that what I'm reading here?
Pretty much. I mean, my thing with these movies is that there are a lot of action films out there that have a strong story, good characters, and crazy intense action. Mad Max Fury Road comes to mind from a few years ago. I just wish these movies tried a little bit harder in that regard. Now, I do have to say, as somebody who is traditionally not like this franchise, I found Hobbs and Shaw slightly less obnoxious than the other ones. Some of the other ones I just actively disliked and was so ready for them to be over. This one was fine. I sat there and watched it. I didn't really have a strong feeling one way or another. So I guess in some ways that's an improvement. But again, I wish that they just did more with having a coherent story and did more with the characters. It's just a lot of macho posturing between these two men, and that gets a little dull after a while.
Is it a little over the top for you? Is that, I mean, some of the stunts typically are literally unbelievable.
No, I'm okay with over the top.
Okay.
I mean, I'm the guy that gave a rave review to Crawl a couple weeks ago where the alligators are in the basement of the house and the house is flooding. So I'm okay with over the top. I think maybe it's just more the way that these movies are over the top a little bit that gets to me. They're just, you can be over the top, but you've got to have the story. You can't just be over the top to be over the top.
All right. Yeah, and some of the Fast and Furious films are really just a sequential series of action scenes and family scenes and action scenes. It almost doesn't have a through line. It's just it's almost like an anthology or something rather than a coherent movie.
Kind of, and that's where this family idea comes in. They've really tried to sell the idea that these movies aren't about cars and stunts and action, that they're really about family, and that's a crock. Really,
so
the whole
speak.
Family theme is not developed particularly well in any of them.
Okay, two
Vin Diesels. We
right.
don't have his cardboard acting in this one. Maybe that's why I found him a little less obnoxious.
We don't have his voice either.
Yeah.
I love his voice. I can listen to that. All right, so that's that. New movies coming out. What are we going to be talking about?
It's a bit of a logjam at the cinemas this weekend because we have 5 new releases, starting off with Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which is a live-action version of the Dora the Explorer cartoon. that has thrilled many children and annoyed many parents. What's interesting here, the actress that they got to play Dora as a teenager is Isabella Moner, who is absolutely a star on the rise. She was so good in Sicario, Day of the Soldado, and in the Mark Wahlberg comedy, Instant Family. She played the daughter that he and his wife adopt. So she is a real talent, and this movie will probably give her a great big boost in visibility. So I think that she's really the main draw here in Dora and the Lost City of Gold. Also opening this weekend is The Kitchen. The wives of New York gangsters in Hell's Kitchen during the 1970s continue to operate their husbands' rackets after they're locked up in prison. This stars Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and Elizabeth Moss, so that's a great cast. Also opening is The Art of Racing in the Rain. Through his bond with his owner, an aspiring Formula One race car driver, a golden retriever learns that the techniques needed on the racetrack can also be used to navigate the journey of life. What's notable here is that Kevin Costner provides the voice of the dog.
Oh.
He's not a talking dog in this
dog
movie, but you hear
okay.
the dog's thoughts through the voice of Kevin Costner. The fourth movie opening this weekend is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. A group of teens face their fears in order to save their lives in this adaptation of the popular young adult horror novel series. And finally, we've got the, based on a true story, Brian Banks, a football player's dreams to play in the NFL are halted when he is wrongly convicted and sent to prison. Years later, he fights to clear his name. So a little something for everybody there this weekend.
All right. And, of course, four films that I guess were between the biggest of the big summer movies. What else is coming out in the box office?
Next weekend is going to be a comedy called Good Boys, a raunchy R-rated film that has a lot of great buzz on it. And also the sequel, 47 Meters Down, Uncaged, comes out next Friday, sequel to the surprise hit from a couple years ago. I got to advance screen it last night, although I'm under embargo. I'm not allowed to talk about what I thought about the movie, but I'll tell you next week. So those are two that are coming up that are pretty good. And then we kind of hit the Labor Day, end of August slump where there's not much. And then first weekend in September is It Chapter 2, which of course is going to be a monster hit.
When is that weekend? When is It Chapter 2?
First Friday in September.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that is, 5th, 6th, something like that.
Okay.
Second?
It'd be the 12th, I guess.
Yeah.
The first Friday?
Yeah.
In September is the 6th.
So, yep, that's the day that Chapter 2 comes out.
All right, fabulous. All right, some entertainment news very briefly here. The Wesley Snipes job that he just got. Tell us about that.
Wesley Snipes has signed on to appear in the sequel to Coming to America, Eddie Murphy's classic 1988 comedy. He will play the leader of a fictional nation that borders the one ruled by Eddie Murphy's Prince Akeem. And the story finds Akeem coming back to America to find his long-lost son. Arsenio Hall is going to be back in it, but it was announced this week that Wesley Snipes has joined the cast. And it's called Coming to America, the number two.
And that's good news?
I love the first one.
Okay.
You know, does it need a sequel? Not necessarily, but I'm excited to see Eddie Murphy back on the big screen again in that kind of role, so I'll take it.
We're not overexposing Wesley Snipes either.
Now, he's had some legal problems in the last few years, kind of derailed his career. He's trying to get back on track now.
Oh, okay. So that really kept him out of the movies.
Kind of, yeah. He did a lot of low-budget things and straight-to-DVD, stuff like that.
Okay. Let's see. Annapurna Pictures?
Annapurna, yes.
Annapurna, okay, thank you. What's happening there?
Annapurna Pictures is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy, and you may say, why should we care about a studio like that or a distributor? But what's interesting, Annapurna Pictures was created by Megan Ellison. Her father, Larry, is the chairman of the Oracle Corporation. He's a billionaire. And she wanted to use her family money to invest in smart movies, filmmaker-driven movies, not just your normal superhero stuff and Hobbs versus Shaw. And Annapurna has made smart films like Vice, If Beale Street Could Talk, Booksmart, Zero Dark Thirty, American Hustle. And some of their movies lately have underperformed, including Vice and If Beale Street Could Talk. So they're now teetering on the verge of bankruptcy, which is sad because they were making really intelligent, smart, artistic films for adults, and we don't have enough of those. So I'm hoping that they can somehow hold it together.
It's not that we don't have enough of them because we don't see them sufficiently. You know, the audience wants the Fast and Furious will be a hit, and Beale Street will never be in the black.
Yeah, it's a lot harder for movies like this to survive these days. People are going to the movies to see the superhero films and the action films and things like that, and these kind of smaller, smarter, more filmmaker-driven movies have a harder time breaking through. Occasionally one does, but it's a lot harder. And some people believe that these movies will eventually just go straight to streaming services and bypass theaters altogether. I hope that's not true, but the trend right now certainly is not working in their favor.
But if you were one of these filmmakers and you're, you know, making your pitch to Annapurna or Universal, I guess they're not precisely the same type of entity, but in any event, and then Netflix says, well, what do you have to say? And Amazon says, oh, I'd like to see your screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's really up to the filmmaker. The benefit of something like Netflix or Amazon is that you can get a wide release. I mean, when Amazon released Alfonso Cuarón's Roma last year, everybody in America could see it. It was essentially the same as having a wide release in theaters. The difference is that people are seeing it at home, and, you know, when you see a movie at home, it's easier to pause it to go get a drink, or if somebody calls, you might hit the button, or you might fiddle with your cell phone while you're watching. You don't get that pure theater experience. So there's some trade-off there.
All right. So what are you going to see today?
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Okay, fabulous. We'll be looking for that review at IslesSeat on Twitter and IslesSeat.com. Movie Mike McGranahan. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.